get to our guest now. Isaac Poole is Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services, joining us also from Singapore. So our reporter Michael McKee earlier said the main focus of the November Fed meeting is the December Fed meeting. How murky is their path given we have this downturn, but then you saw that rebound in US job openings?
It is really murky, and it is really challenging for the Fed to get their messaging right at their November meeting, because it is about the December meeting. The market is aching to hear how they're going to start slowing the pace of rate hikes. But then it's also about setting this up for 2023 and an eventual pause, because the market is still pricing a pivot. They're still pricing a terminal rate with rate cuts almost immediately after that terminal rate is reached, and that's never happened before from the Fed. They always get to a level and pause. So there's quite a lot of work for the Fed to do to get that message across to markets and set up for the next 12-18 months.
And what does that mean for Treasuries? Do we see a more flattening of the curve here, particularly when you've got that tight labor market?
It really does mean that there is a risk of curve steepening at some stage, and that's going to be bull steepening if the Fed loses hold of their narrative, if the market starts to believe rates are going to get so high so quickly that it forces a recession down on the economy. That tends to drive bull steepening in the curve, and that's the point when recession really hits the economy. So an inverted curve now is telling us that at some point over the next 3 years there'll be a recession. If we start to see that steepen really quickly, then we're in recession. And that's something the Fed needs to be really cautious and careful about. They want to extend this cycle, not force the recession on us in the next 12 months.
You're saying, though, that you don't think there will be a recession next year. So moderately overweight US equities, how much of a rally do we see when we had that 8% gain in October on the S&P 500?
Yeah, I mean, part of that was just unwinding of the 10-year Treasury yield, reversing from its peaks up around 4.30 or so. I think that there's coincidentally at the same time been a ratcheting down in earnings expectations, and that really does reflect the expectation that there'll be a recession. I mean, the consensus is for a recession early in 2023, and if the Fed can avoid that, then it provides quite a lot of upside still from here even.
So we saw Chinese stocks rally very strongly yesterday afternoon on that unconfirmed social post on the reopening. We've been tracking the rallies, though, in the Hang Seng China Enterprises Index, and mostly they're reversed if they gain around that 5% level. So do investors get burned again here, given there is actually no confirmation on these rumours?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging when you see these big rips off unconfirmed rumours. And that means that there is quite a lot of scope for that to back down if we don't get some confirmation. I think investors will be looking at China and hoping to see some planning for an exit from the zero COVID policy. That would make a lot of sense. But I think rumours like this just leave the outlook choppy, volatile over the near term.
And what about in terms of what we see with yuan? Because that is also being, I guess, hit hard by the dollar strength. We've heard an ex-official say that the PBOC should be prepared to act like Japan on its FX and kind of intervene here.
Well, I think that, the PBOC will manage the yuan to a basket of currencies, and they could get concerned if it starts to show some sort of financial stability risk, particularly to Chinese companies who are paying US dollar denominated debt. But right now, that currency is becoming more competitive. It doesn't seem to be driving any real financial stability issues. And ultimately, the big macro story there is that China is effectively in recession, and there's no way out of that really until we get a movement on zero COVID. So it's appropriate for that currency to be weaker. I don't think the PBOC will be leaning too heavily against that right now. It hasn't been a disorderly move, really, over the last 6 months in the currency.
Okay, let's get back to some of the other central bank moves that we've seen in the region. I mean, we had the RBA yesterday with just a 25 basis point hike. You could argue they were among the first here to potentially slow down the tightening pace. What do you see in terms of further moves from the likes of the RBA and RBNZ?
Yeah, I mean, there's more hikes to go. I think the RBA has been really clear on that, that they need to get the cash rate to restrictive. And it's below 3% at this level. It's not really restrictive. We think above 3% gets restrictive. But I think they've been very sensible in saying, look, we need to tighten up. We know that we need to go further, but we want to give ourselves a chance to prevent a recession that is unnecessary and avoidable, really. So I think that's going to be the playbook for the RBA from here, perhaps hiking through till March. Then we could see a pause. And I think the RBNZ is also getting closer to ending their rate hikes than perhaps the market's anticipating. And that is something that will start to be seen around the rest of the world in other developed market central banks over the course of this year and certainly early next year.
And how much does, as we were talking about tight labour markets earlier, but wages growth really complicate things here too, when workers are demanding higher wages, consumers still very much want to spend?
Yeah, I mean, tight labour markets are making this pretty challenging. There is significant tightness coming through in Australia, in the US, globally. I think central banks want to see participation rates pick up. They want to see demand soften. And historically, when we see rates tighten, that drop away can happen very, very suddenly and very, very quickly. There's a real risk here that that central banks globally over tighten, and we are facing a disinflationary environment in 2023. And that is something I think they'll be looking to avoid at all costs. It'll make their credibility very difficult to maintain and retain in that situation. So yes, there will be a focus on wages, but it's probably something where they'll be cautious.
All right, Isaac, always a pleasure. Thank you. Isaac Poole is Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services on the line for us from Singapore.